Good song tonight. Wonderful name to end the song on, Jesus. And we'll talk about Him tonight. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on our time around the Lord's table. You're not told in the Scripture how often to observe this ordinance. It just says as oft as you do it, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup. It's up to the local church individually to decide how many times a year. Churches have it once a month. Churches have it once a year. We do it four times a year. I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't do it a little bit more often. I believe it's good for our hearts and good for us to be drawn to what this ordinance represents. Keep us near the cross. That's important. We'll talk about the cross tonight and specifically the Lord's death. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that beautiful song. Thank you for Jesus who is there when our days are long, when our hearts are heavy, as is this dear couple in our church tonight. I'm glad that you're there with them all the time, individually, and with them as a couple. And I pray that you'll bless Brett and Amy. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless this service. Pray that you'll please draw us close to Christ tonight, draw us close to the cross. And God, help us to do as the Scripture says here. Help me as I bring forth the lesson in Jesus' name, and amen. We come again to this wonderful ordinance known as the Lord's Supper. It is conducted by local churches, and this is called the Table of the Lord. The elements involved in this supper are simple, bread and juice, but what the elements symbolize is profound. Amen. The bread symbolizes the body of Jesus, the blood, of course. The juice symbolizing the blood of Jesus. Did I say that right? The bread symbolizing the body of Jesus, and the juice symbolizing the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread is unleavened because leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. We know that Christ was without sin. The juice, of course, is unfermented. It's the fresh fruit of the vine, grape juice. It's not rotten or fermented because it symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ, which was spotless and without sin as well. Now, what we are remembering in particular tonight is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Look at verse number 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Of course, we love the story about the resurrection. And Easter Sunday is just a couple of weeks away when we celebrate the great resurrection of Jesus and all the miracles that Jesus worked and all the messages He preached. But this specifically tonight deals with the Lord's death. The Bible says we do show. The word means observe. We do observe the Lord's death till He come. Now listen carefully. Because we specifically emphasize His death on the cross. Don't miss this. We should be certain that our lives are testimonies to the power of that cross. I'll say that again. Because we specifically emphasize His death on the cross. We should be certain that our lives are testimonies to the power of that cross. You see, friend, the cross is the symbol not only of God's love, it is the symbol of God's love, but it is also the symbol of God's judgment on sin. On the cross, sin was judged. On the cross, the sin debt was paid. On the cross, God's wrath towards sin was displayed as Jesus suffered like no human has ever suffered. And because of the cross, we can have victory over sin in our personal lives. You see, the cross gives us victory not only over the penalty of sin, but the cross also gives us victory over the power of sin. And that's my day-to-day life. That's your day-to-day life. That's where I work and where I shop and where I buy things and where I do business and my relationship with my wife and my children. That's everything involved in my life. The cross gives me victory over the power of sin. So because of the cross and because of the Lord's death, sin does not and sin should not have dominion over me or over you anymore. If we are living under the dominion of sin, it's because we are giving sin that dominion. We're yielding to that dominion. Now, sin has power. All you got to do is drive around a little bit and you'll see the power of sin evidenced in people's lives. Okay? But since you've been saved, since I've been saved, sin's dominion in my life and your life has been broken. If I am under the power of sin, I am yielding to sin, power that really should not be yielded to sin in my life. You see, my relationship with sin and your relationship with sin should be different after salvation because of the Lord's death on the cross of Calvary. That is what we are remembering tonight. His death. To come to this table, and listen carefully, to come to this table with a life dominated by the power of sin contradicts the message of this table. Are you with me tonight? To come around this table, living a life that is dominated by the power of sin, contradicts the symbolism and the message of this table. If I come to a table that is a picture of victory over sin, and is that not what this is a picture of? It's a picture of victory over sin. If I come to this table living a life of defeat because of sin, I am contradicting the symbolism and the message of this ordinance. That's why Paul said in verse number 27, look at it, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, folks, look, the thing that must be avoided is to eat and drink of this table unworthily. The thing that must be avoided is to eat and drink of this table living a life under the dominion of sin. That is slapping the Lord Jesus' death in the face. Because His death gave us victory, not only over the penalty of sin, but over the power of sin, and someday, thank God, over the very presence of sin. How are we living tonight? That's why He said, be careful. Don't come to the table of the Lord and eat and drink unworthily, not realizing what this table says. Not realizing what this table symbolizes, what this the message of this table is. See, it is more than being saved. It is being saved and then living a life consistent with the power of the cross. Living a life consistent with the power of the cross. Now, I should have victory over sin in my life. And so should you. Listen very carefully. We may lose a battle with sin, but we should not be losing the war. Are you with me tonight? Huh? You see, this ordinance reminds me of my responsibility to holiness. It really does. This ordinance reminds me of my responsibility to live clean and live pure before God and man. And I suggest to you, friend, that it takes more than what you and I can muster up to live clean and pure and holy in this world of sin. It takes the power of the cross. It takes the power of the cross effective in my life and your life every day. This ordinance, folks, sometimes I'm all for you know, we've left Lord's Supper services before and people have said, man, what a service. Boy, I mean, I am blessed. And I'm not against leaving the Lord's Supper service feeling good about being saved. But friend, if that's all this ordinance is doing for me, helping me feel good about being saved, feel good that I'm going to heaven someday, feel good that I'm not going to burn in hell, just feeling good that I'm a child of God, I'm only touching the hem of the garment. It should draw me closer to Christ, not through some warm feeling, but through a life that is not under the power and dominion of sin. That's what this table is all about. That's why Paul said in verse number 28, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. I'm not to examine others. This is not the time for that. You say, well, I know something about so-and-so. The Bible didn't say, if you know something about so-and-so, examine. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. The sole object of my examination tonight is Terry Angel. And the sole object of your examination tonight is you. And by the way, I am also not to rest in someone else's examination of me. It's too easy to pull the wool over somebody else's eyes. It's hard to pull the wool over your eyes. It's hard to pull the wool over the eyes of the one whose face I shave every morning. Hard to pull the wool over you ladies as you look into the mirror and you look at yourself, preparing yourself to go out. It's hard to pull the wool over your eyes about yourself. Amen. That's what Paul is saying here. Let a man examine himself. I need to examine myself. And you need to examine yourself as we approach the table of the Lord tonight. Again, folks, it's not a matter of being sinless. That is impossible in this life. I will not be sinless until I receive my glorified body. I am changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Then and only then will I be able to live a life above sin completely. And you too. But I will say this. It's a matter of winning the war against sin in my life. I cannot win it in my power. You cannot win it in your power, but victory over sin can come through the power of the cross. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you under the power of any sin tonight? Ask yourself that question. Am I under the dominion of sin? Are you losing the war against pride? I hate pride. I hate pride in my life. And it comes. I hate it. I feel so foolish after being caught up in the sin of pride maybe for a while. How small, huh? Are you losing the war against the sin of pride? Are you losing the war against jealousy? Are you losing the war against lust? Are you losing the war against anger? I didn't say losing a battle, because that's going to happen. But are you further behind or are you no further ahead tonight than you were 6 years ago? Are we no further ahead tonight than we were 10 years ago? To come to the table of the Lord happily and gaily and let's eat and drink and be merry. This is a wonderful thing. Feels good to be saved. We're only touching the hem of the garment. It does feel good to be saved. But the message of this table gets down into our lives where we live. Are we winning the war against sin through the power of God? Are you losing the war against bitterness tonight? Are you losing the war against selfishness? You're losing the war against rebellion. You'll lose a battle. Never feels good to lose the battle, does it? Always feels bad. But you get it confessed and you get it taken care of. And then you go out and you hopefully live. And hopefully after the next 3 months, you come to the table of the Lord. And you can look back over the last 3 months and you can see some progress in the war in your life over sin. Are you losing the war against lying? Maybe it's a sin of the flesh, alcohol or gambling or drugs or cigarettes. Are you losing the war? Let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. Albert Barnes said, and I quote to you, this examination should be minute and particular. It should extend to the words, the thoughts, the feelings, the conduct. We should inquire whether in our family and in our business, whether among Christians and with the world, we have lived the life of a Christian. Am I winning the war against sin in my life? Am I different? Am I closer to Jesus? And what this ordinance does is snap us back to reality and cause us to think. You say, oh, Pastor, my goodness, I got mad today and lost my temper. Does that mean I can't take a piece of bread and can't take a cup of juice tonight and participate in the Lord's Supper? Let me say something, friend. If you're feeling the burden and guilt of that sin tonight, I think you're in good shape. That's exactly what this table is supposed to do. I'll talk more about that in just a minute. This is a good ordinance. This is time well spent in the local church. Jesus never left us anything to do that was unproductive and useless. This is time well spent because sin hinders my relationship with God. It limits His blessing on my life. And it damages the testimony of Christ before unsaved men. Even unsaved men believe that church people are different. Or should be. Examine yourself. This is a blessed thing. It's a good ordinance tonight. Let me say two or three things. First of all, it's good because it is good to take an account of our condition in the sight of God. It's good to take an account of our condition in the sight of God. Folks, any good business owner or businessman will sit down and assess the health of his business. He will examine his accounts, those that owe him money, those to whom he owes money, and he will consider how those accounts are doing, and he will assess the condition of his business, how healthy are my accounts, and so forth and so on. And it is good for you and me to assess our condition before God. How is my account before God tonight? I'm not talking about the matter of justification. That's done and settled once and done, friend. Justified in the sight of God, just as if I'd never sinned. I'm talking about in the area of sanctification. How am I doing in becoming more and more like Jesus and less like the world? Am I winning the war? I'll lose a battle every now and again, but am I winning the war? Am I advancing in that territory? Am I making progress? I should assess that. It's good for me to examine myself. It's good for you to examine yourself. And when we come to the table of the Lord, this is the time to do it. Somebody said, keep short accounts with God. Short accounts. If you're not keeping account with God every day and confessing your sin before Him, man, you get behind real quick. And this ordinance, even more so, slaps us in the face and causes us to realize, man, I am showing forth the Lord's death. The bread symbolizes His body. The juice symbolizes His blood. His death on the cross gave me power over sin in my life. How am I doing? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Number two, it's a good thing because of the emotions that examination of self creates. The emotions that examination of self creates. Now, let me explain this point to you here. Listen carefully tonight. Do you know what comes from self-examination at a time like this? Let me tell you how I think it ought to be. The bread is passed represents His body. His body was beaten. His body was horribly tortured. His face was slapped. His beard was plucked out by the hands of the Roman soldiers. The crown of thorns on His brow. The cat of nine tails. Tortured. Not to speak of the nails through His hands and feet and the torture of the cross. And that little piece of bread represents all of that. What Jesus suffered in His body as He was dying for us. Then follows the juice. It is passed, representing His blood that flowed every ounce out of His veins to wash away my sins, to create a fountain filled with blood so that the guilty could plunge in and be made clean. I come to this table under the dominion of sin that Jesus suffered for. I come to this table under the dominion of sin that Jesus was tortured for. I come to this table under the dominion of sin that Jesus bled for, bled to forgive and bled to give victory. And I am not advancing in my life in the area of power over sin. I continue in sin by choice. You know what kind of emotion that creates? Or should create? Shame. Embarrassment, brokenness. Why am I living like this? Why am I yielding power to sin? Why am I giving it dominion in my life? Look at the price that Jesus paid in His body. Look at the blood that was shed to give me power over this sin. And I am yielding power to sin when God gave me power over sin. How shameful. That's what it should do for us. to create shame and brokenness. It makes me contrite. And I don't like feeling that way. But let me tell you something. God likes you to feel that way. Because in Psalm chapter 51, verse number 17, David said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." When you come to God, friend, with a heart that is broken and contrite because you've yielded the power and you've yielded dominion in your life to sin that He died to free you from, it's shameful, it's embarrassing. Dear God, I'm sorry. And it's not just words. It's emotion. It's burden. You feel it. Huh? If you never feel it, I don't know what to say to you. I heard a little story one time about a little boy, a little flippant, smart-aleck boy, and said to the pastor, "He always talking about the burden of sin, the burden of sin. How much does sin weigh? Does sin weigh 15 pounds? Does sin weigh 100 pounds? Does sin weigh 500 pounds? How much does it weigh? You keep talking about the burden of sin." Boy, the pastor wisely answered this. He said, "Well, son, let me ask you a question." He said, "If we put a 400-pound weight on a corpse, how heavy would it be?" The little boy said, "Well, he wouldn't feel it because he's dead." The pastor said, "Son, if you never feel the weight of sin, maybe it's because you're dead." That's powerful. You ever feel the weight of sin? Man, I remember how free I'm sorry to use this word, but I remember how free I felt. I'm not saved by feelings. I'm saved because I came to Jesus Christ and the conditions, met the conditions of this book. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. In those first few moments after salvation, oh, my soul. Then you start living your life and you start yielding dominion over to sin. Dominion that Jesus died to free you from, that guilt comes back. And that burden comes back. And this is what the Lord's Supper is designed to do. I don't want to come glibly. That's not a morbid time. It is a time of rejoicing. It's a time that looks ahead to His coming. But I don't want to come glibly. "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. And tomorrow, know that I'm going to go out and live under the dominion of sin that He died to free me from." That's eating and drinking unworthily. Well, you know, we're forgiven. We're not perfect, just forgiven. And we're all human. You may lose a battle. Are you winning the war? Wonder how many times people come to the Lord's table, eat the bread and drink the juice with old ugly attitudes and a hard heart. Isn't it good to be saved? "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for dying. Oh, it's good to be saved." It must make God sick. My son didn't just die to die. My son didn't just die to die. He died to free you. He died to set you free from the power of sin in your life. Don't come glibly to the table and eat and drink and just plan on never getting any victory over sin. Examine myself. See how steep a price Jesus paid to free me from sin. Husbands and wives in here, mad, distance from your wife, distance from your husband, no relationship, and you have no plans to change it. No plans. "I don't even know if I love her anymore. I don't even know if I love him anymore." Well, that's Christ-like. Eat and drink and be merry. I'm sorry, but Jesus died to free us from that kind of attitude. You know, come tonight to the Lord's table and eat and drink unworthily. Are you winning the war? It's good for us to experience some of the emotions that the Lord's Supper creates in our hearts if we come to it properly and rightly and realize the price that bread represents and that juice represents, a high price that was paid to free me. It's also good, friend, number three, because it allows me to search out, confess, and forsake those things that are displeasing to God. You see, after spending some time observing this ordinance and letting the message of this ordinance work on me, I should not leave just feeling good about being saved. I should leave being closer to God because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just once when I got saved, but every day, realizing the power of the cross in my life. Realizing that power. Somebody gave me a CD of some beautiful music not too long ago called Hidden Pearls. I listen to it all the time. I love it. Beautiful music. Has some of the old hymns. And there's a song on there. Now, I can't remember the name of the song, but the song is, "Oh, How Sweet to Die with Jesus to the world and self and sin." The last verse begins, and I'll probably butcher the words a little bit, but basically the last verse begins with this: the path to glory leads through the cross. And that's not just once, friend, that's every day. That's why Jesus said, "Take up your cross. Follow me." That cross is a reminder of the price Jesus paid to free me from the power of sin in my life. So when I come to the Lord's table, my heart is examined. My sin is searched out. My lips confess it to God. And in my mind and heart, I am determined to live victorious through the power of the cross. And when we come back to this table 3 months from now, I'll be able to look back, hopefully, in my life and see that I gained a little bit more ground in the war against sin. That's what this thing's about. Every time I come to the Lord's Supper, it should be a reminder of the fact that the power of the cross has helped me gain some of the ground that Satan used to control. Now, because Jesus died, God gives me that ground, gives me that victory, gives me that power, the power of the cross. We do show the Lord's death. Are you winning the war against sin? You can lose a battle, but are you winning the war? Don't eat and drink unworthily. Examine your heart tonight. And let the emotions that come from brokenness and contriteness be turned into confession. God will accept that. Set out tomorrow to be different. Set out Tuesday to be different. In 3 months, come to this table again and look back and say, "Dear Lord, thank you. I see some progress because of the power of the cross." Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll help us to realize the power of the cross every day in our lives. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that you'll help us not to just rejoice in our salvation, and we should, but Lord, that we will take the message of this ordinance seriously. Jesus paid the debt, not only for us to have victory over the penalty of sin, but over the power. May it be true in my life. May I be closer to God. May I be closer to Christ because I spent some time at this table tonight. And may, before I come back here in 3 months, may God, I gain some ground in the war against sin. How foolish to hand sin power. I may never get it back. Help us, God, when we lose a battle, to confess it. Bow humbly before you. Help us to move on to victory. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the Lord's death. I'm different, Lord, than I was 31 years ago. Not just because I'm saved now, but I'm different in my life. Things I used to enjoy, oh Lord, now they're so distasteful. Attitudes I used to fan flame, now Lord, bring me shame. Oh God, please help the power of the cross to be in my life and all of our lives. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you've never been saved, I hope you'll leave your seat in just a moment. Come right to Brother Caleb and tell him, Brother Caleb, I need to be saved. Don't go any day further. Don't go any moment further unsaved out of the family of God on your way to hell. And Christian friend, if this is your need tonight, if you're losing the war against sin and God has burdened your heart about it, thank Him that He has. At least it shows that you have life. Maybe you ought to examine yourself. If you feel no burden ever of sin, are you a corpse? Spiritually? Let the power of this cross, let the power, the symbolism of this ordinance, through the power of the cross, let it be alive in your life tomorrow. Did God speak to you about it tonight? Do you need to gain some ground before we come back 3 months from now? Let's stand together, please. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come tonight? Let the Spirit of God do a good work in your heart. Are you losing the war? Are you losing the war? Oh, you don't want to lose the war, friend. You might lose a battle, but don't lose the war. Would you come? Make your way to the altar tonight. Let the Spirit of God deal with your heart. What ground have you lost? What ground needs to be gained? What ground needs to be won? That's right. We got a moment for you to think about it, pray about it. Would you come? Last step, let me ask the men who are going to help serve the supper tonight.